Well, thank you, Alicia. Appreciate it. Already said, appreciate everything that folks are doing. And you've heard it said that getting old is not for sissies. I agree with that more and more. Brother Mike asked me a while ago, said, how'd it feel waking up being 80? I said, felt better waking up being 70. That's been 10 years ago. I have been looking at Psalms 90 quite a bit. I don't think I'll preach from it tonight, but it says the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I'm looking at that forward to that last part. We fly away, amen. You know, there's some things about getting old. I have discovered there's nothing in the world worth waiting in line for anymore. You know what I'm talking about? That psalm also says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I have said, and I've reminded you, I had an old maid school teacher that challenged our class to ask us if the world would be a better place after we passed. And I didn't quite understand that then, but if I know by heart, I would like for my life to have counted for something for Jesus. Amen. And I believe it has. Now, I've also got regrets of missed opportunities and many of the blessings that I've had. I believe I should have done and could have done more if I'd have tried a little harder and all that. We'll all kind of relate to that a little bit. But I thought about taking you to the book of Genesis, if you'll go there tonight with me, Genesis chapter 5. And you're familiar with it. Story of some fellows before the flood. It says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, Methuselah's name, most of you know that. It means when he dies, it will come. Most likely talking about the flood, the deluge of Noah's day, God's judgment coming. And I thought I'd turn over and read about Methuselah just to let you know some folks are older than me and live longer than me. A little lighthearted about it. Old age is not for sissies, but you young folks, listen. Don't have too much pity on us. We're still having a good time. Amen. I do appreciate folks being kind to me. I was in a preacher's meeting not long ago, and pretty good size church and meeting, and various speakers getting up. And when it come my turn, I was sitting on the front. When it come my turn, I started up to the platform. Next thing I knew, I felt something on my left arm, and it was a young man helping me up the stairs. They were not near as high as these. My first impulse was, what are you doing? Then I thought, just enjoy it. You've earned a ride. Amen. I don't know. You know, I don't mind folks treat me that way. I started to get in the car. In fact, not that meeting, but another one. And they come to pick us up in the car to take us to the meeting, two or three of us preachers. And I opened the back door. I was fixing to get in the back seat. And a fellow opened the front door and said, preacher, you get in the front seat. You're older than me. They just won't let you forget it. You know. But I tell you one thing about getting old. We learn how to deal with things. We learn how to cut ourselves some slack sometime and how to maneuver around. You know, a lot of folks, I've learned a lot of things you can do, that shortcuts, I guess you'd call them. You know, a lot of older folks start having problems with blood pressure. Now, I've, in my younger days, filled up enough car tires with air enough hydraulic lines with fluid that I know when the pressure gets high, you got to release it. So I've discovered with high blood pressure, you just cut it, let it bleed a while, and don't let it go too far, but let the pressure off. Amen. There's a lot of tricks older folks learn. Some of you young folks, you have trouble getting out of the bed in the morning because you reach over and hit the alarm clock on the snooze button. I learned a long time ago, if you put a mouse trap on top of the clock, you'll only hit it one time. And there are just certain things that that you can do as you get older to make things easier. I've learned there's only two tools I need now in old age. One of them is WD-40, and the other one is duct tape. If it won't move, grease it with WD-40. If it moves too much, tape it up. Joking around a little bit, but we don't have it too bad, young folks. We get along pretty good, amen. We make it all right. So don't have too much sympathy for me. We actually get along pretty good, I consider. I guess. I was thinking about what Methuselah's name meant. You know, he pictures the long-suffering of God. That's the oldest man that ever lived. And yet God said, my judgment's coming when he dies. Now think about that. That's a picture of what Peter said about the long-suffering of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that God is merciful, he is long-suffering, and here's a picture of it. That judgment is coming, but God said, I'm going to give you the warning. I'm going to stretch it out as far as I can, and I'll give you a sign. When this guy dies, you better watch out. And by the way, his father Enoch is a good picture of the rapture. Amen. He was translated out, and bless God, I wouldn't mind that before I have another birthday. Amen. And most of us wouldn't. I just think about it. My wife can tell you a long time ago when we were young folks, I claimed the promise of Moses. Moses lived to be 120, and the Bible says his natural force was not abated. His hand was not slow. His eye was not dim. I've not quite kept that promise. I can tell the difference, especially in that natural force being abated, amen? But I see the long-suffering of God in the name of Methuselah. And I said something to you this morning that I would, I'm going to try to hurry. You listen fast. I'll try to talk fast. And we'll get to that cake that's waiting over there, amen? I knew you were ready. But I said something this morning about, there's a lot of talk going around. Now, I guess the CIA calls it chatter. Hearing all the chatter on the net and on the wire and all that business. And a lot of folks are a little bit worried and they're fearful about the next month here, September 2015. There's something big going to happen. A lot of people are saying, and by the way, a lot of the folks that are saying that are not Christians. They don't know what the Bible has to say about it. I just love to get up there and just pour some Bible into some of our leadership and let them know what God says about something. Because they're confused. They don't know what they're talking about. And they don't know what's going to happen. And they keep making wrong decisions on top of wrong decisions. You know how I feel about that. But the thing is, a lot of folks are talking about it. And they think something big's going to happen. Some folks think an economic collapse is coming. Now, I'm not too afraid of that. I've lived through a lot of economic collapses. I probably got more money today than I ever had, and that's not much. But a lot of folks are really scared to death about that sort of thing. And by the way, I'm not going to try to put scripture with some, I'm going to itemize some things like I told you I would this morning, but I'm not going to try to run the scripture references for the sake of time. But the book of Revelation chapter 6 tells you there's going to be an economic collapse. When the horses begin to move, and I believe that's in the tribulation period after the rapture, but there's an economic collapse. And by the way, it says, touch not the oil. The oil's a big deal. I was talking with Jonathan today at noon. We passed the gas station. I pointed up there, by the way, the gas in Hayden City is cheaper than it's been in a long time. And I asked Jonathan, I said, what is it over there in Africa and that area? Jonathan said it's $6 a gallon. Think about that. But yeah, there's an economic collapse coming. Now, we've been living on and using and taking for granted what's called fiat money. Fiat money is paper backed by nothing. And we've been living that way for a long, long time. You know, the truth of the matter is, you used to could take a paper dollar and you could actually go to the bank and you could get silver for it. Long time. That's not been true. And it's even further back than that, it used to be worth some gold, but there's no gold backing it now. So you know what's backing your paper money? Goodwill. And goodwill is slipping fast. And so, yeah, there'll be an economic collapse. Will it be in 2015? I don't know. But there's a lot of folks are beginning to think that. America's in debt like we have never been. And yet our president is still, and by the way, we older folks, he's taking our Social Security money and giving it to Iran to bribe them to sign a few pieces of paper that they know's a lie. And I think he knows it's a lie. You ought to know it's a lie. They're not going to keep their word, even though we're going to let their own inspectors inspect their own bomb sites. That's the dumbest thing I've heard in a long, long time. Amen. But yeah, some folks are afraid. Stock market falling and all that business. I'm not into that enough to know about it, except I know what the Bible says about it. And if you got your trust in the money, you better watch out. I hope you got it in the Lord, of course. America's in debt. Some are saying, well, there's going to be a natural disaster in 2015. Well, the Bible predicts the big earthquakes. They are going to come, and there's going to be other things, and there's no doubt about that. When is the only question? When is it going to come? So a lot of folks are afraid, and a lot of them think it's 2015 for various reasons. They think God's judgment is coming. By the way, let me say this. Why wouldn't it come? What could we do to God we haven't done to him? We've taken his law, his word. I mean, the Supreme Court has said it's all right for men and to marry men and women to marry women. And we just slap God in the face. We don't care what his book says, what his word says. We just do what we want to. We can't have his name in school. Even the chaplains in the army can't mention Jesus. Kids turn in school papers, can't have the name of the Lord on them. Why wouldn't God want to bring some judgment on a nation like that? The Bible says the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. We did know God, but we're forgetting God. We forgot him a long time ago. And it's an amazing, sad thing. Why wouldn't he bring judgment? And then somebody says, well, what about survival? And a lot of you, by the way, let me know if you've got a bunch of survival food. I'm coming to your house if things get bad. And by the way, any of you that are into that, you know that the places you buy all that tasteless dried stuff or whatever it is, they say they're running out. You seeing that on the internet? A lot of folks talking about having to wait to order it and the big suppliers not being able to get it to you like that. And they're worried about that. And they're saying, what's going on here? Well, you read in the book of Revelation again, and certainly I believe in the tribulation period, it's going to be hard to earn enough money in a day to not buy enough bread to live on that day. That's right. That's in the book of Revelation. Amen. Food stocking. Sources becoming empty. And I read one report, this Natural News report, that does sell survival foods, where that you're having to order weeks ahead now because where they get it from is seemingly drying up on them. And so there's a lot of folks just got what they call a gut feeling. Now, why would they have that? That something big's about to happen. Maybe it's this year. And I'll just list a few little reasons here and try to not elaborate on them. A lot of folks are concerned with the military moves, not only in the world, but locally within the states of America. A lot of maneuvering going on that don't seem to make sense. And I said this morning that NORAD is now opening up the Cheyenne Mountain again. Now, there was a man in the service this morning, Brother Dave Skazinski. He used to work out there in the Cheyenne Mountain when it was, I guess, open in the early years. They closed it. By the way, they got some other places like that. But that's the place they wanted to do, run into the mountains, hide in the mountains, just like Revelation 6 says. They want to hide themselves from the face of him that sits upon the throne. And it's the big wheels, it's the dignitaries that's got the big, deepest hole in the ground. How many of you remember that cute little old comedy of years ago called Maxwell Smart? Wasn't that Maxwell Smart? I don't know what it was called. But that was a character. Yeah, what was it called? Maxwell Smart, all right. How many of you remember when he'd drive that little old car up in front of a building? He'd get out of it, he'd go through these doors, then he'd go through these other doors, then he'd go through these other doors, then he'd go through these other big security doors, and finally he'd walk into the back alley and use a telephone booth. Anybody remember that? Oh, that's a bunch of hands, a lot of intelligent people out here tonight. Anyway, I was in West Virginia, a lot of hills in West Virginia, and I went to a place back in the hills, big secret. It finally leaked out during the Clinton administration. But in 9/11, when the planes flew into the towers, Dick Cheney and those that were in the White House, they rushed them to this place back in the hills. And I saw it. A preacher took me there and showed it to me, a pastor there in West Virginia. And it reminded me so much of Maxwell Smart. You had one door after another. And it was all hid in a mountain behind a big hotel you'd never suspect. If you drove by the road and looked, you'd never suspect a place like that was back there. But they're opening up the Cheyenne Mountain security area again. It's not for me and you to get in, by the way. It's to save the big wheels. A lot of folks concerned about that. But then on the spiritual side, many of you have kept up with the blood moons, and you know September's going to wrap that up, and I'm not too much into that. I'm interested in it. I like to watch it. But on the spiritual side, there's some preachers saying, and this is, I wish this sign didn't exist, folks, but it does. They're saying the coldness in our churches, the backslidden condition of too many churches, the Laodicean church age is on us. And Jesus said in Luke 18, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He was answering his own question. It was going down. Candles going out, as it were. Not fired up like we used to be. And I hate to say it, but that's us. Right. Maybe not as bad as some, but it's a reality that we've moved into that fallen away period the Bible predicts. That coldness, that apostasy, that is very, very, very real. And on the spiritual side, how many of you, one of the other things they're talking about is they believe the Star of Bethlehem showed back up. Anybody see that in the news or on the internet? Raise your hand if you did. I'm just talking to you tonight. There are several of you over there. Now, I saw somebody tried to show it to me on their magic box in their hand, the camera, roll the pictures up, and it looked pretty good. I don't know if you want to call it the Star of Bethlehem or not, but talking about spiritual signs and then all the noises of warfare and all that's been in the heavens. I talked to you about that one time. Amazing thing they can't explain. And it's happening everywhere. And there's a lot of folks getting concerned that something big is going to happen. And then, of course, the Pope's got to get into it. He's going to visit the UN on September the 25th. And he's saying what we need. Of course, he's jumped on the environmental bandwagon, too, with the tree huggers and the turtle worshipers and all that crowd. But anyway, by the way, you did see where he said that we might find out when Jesus showed up that he was a star child, an alien. You did see that, didn't you? Anyway, though, he's going to talk to the UN and his big plan. He's going to talk about, which is the world's plan. It's been on for a long time as one world government. If you want to know why we're making some of the stupid moves we are in Washington, that's the plan behind it. To put in the one world government that the Bible predicted. And so the Pope's going to be talking to the UN about that on the 25th. And then there's the sabbatical year on the spiritual side. And many of you have seen on the TV, they've talked it up. Some of it's right. Some of they got right. Maybe they haven't. Some of them are saying also it's going to hit at the same time in September on the Jubilee year. Now, personally, my own figure, and I don't believe the Jubilee year hits in September, but I could be wrong. But the sabbatical year very likely will. And on the sabbatical year, every time that it's turned, in fact, if you go back to 2008 when the stock market fell, and it fell 600 and something points, the greatest it's ever fallen, back to the 20s, I guess, and it fell on that sabbatical year date, and it did not recover for 7 years. And they're saying that this September is another sabbatical year, dealing with the sevens and the Jews and so forth. And then some of them are saying it hits on the Jubilee year, and that is really big, a 50-year thing with the Jewish thing. But I don't know. I don't know. I do know the UN proposal that's coming up, though, and France is supposed to introduce the motion to create a Palestinian state on Jewish territory. That's big, folks. That's big. I mean, you got the nations now. They've almost gathered into a circular firing squad. They're eyeballing each other. Russia, Korea, Iran, all of us. And it's like a lot of the nations, and Israel's in this spot because they can't stand to receive a first blow. If they let Iran hit them first, they're done. And so the thing right now is, who's going to fire the first shot? Who's going to make the first move? So there's a lot of things folks are noticing. That's why they're saying something big is about to happen. And if France introduces that motion into the UN, you see, in times past, America stood with Israel and we'd have vetoed it. We won't now. We definitely won't now. We've sold Israel down the creek, no doubt about it. And then on September the 13th of this coming September, that's a big one. It's the last day of the sabbatical year. And a lot of folks are watching that thing pretty close. And I'm going to watch it. It's been my favorite date for something big to happen, because something big happened to Sonia and I on September the 13th about 40 years ago. We had a baby. That was his birthday. And even way back then, I've preached prophecy all my ministry. Most of you know that. I used to kid Stephen. I'd say, something big going to happen on your birthday one of these days. You born on September 13th. He got tired of that. Still tired of it. But I carried that on with him for years, even when he was a kid. And the truth is, something big is going to happen on that day. I'd love for it to be the rapture, but I don't know. It may be way down the road before that happens, but it could be. But there's a spirit of fear moving now across the nations and in America. Really is. And it's almost a supernatural fear that folks that don't know enough Bible, and by the way, if lost people did know enough Bible, they would have a right to be afraid. Amen? Afraid of being left behind. If Jesus comes, amen? That'd be a legitimate fear. But I don't know, but now you and I, we got a different outlook. The Bible says we're not to have a spirit of fear. Amen. More than that, we got a blessed hope. That blessed hope is the Lord returning. Our blessed hope is going to be sad for folks that don't have it, that are left behind. That's very true. I'm not happy about that. I wish everybody would get saved. I say to you very honestly tonight on the radio or here in the building, if you're not saved, you don't have any time to waste. Amen. I don't know that September will be any different than last month was. I don't know, but it could be. Right. Sooner or later, God's going to say, that's all I'm going to take. Right. It's time for me to act. It's time for me to move. And Methuselah lived a long time, but he finally died. And when he died, the flood came. And those that mocked Noah and mocked all God's people, they were caught up in the judgment waters of the flood. And it was too late. Some folks forget that if you read the story of the flood and Noah very close, it was God that shut the door to the ark. And Noah couldn't open it, no matter how they beat on it and how they begged. God shut it. And there's a door of grace open right now for souls to be saved.
one day God's going to shut it. And no man's going to be able to open it. Now, I want to say to you, I've been preaching in this city now 44 years. Much of it, almost all of it, on the radio as well as behind this pulpit. In a sense, I don't have this city's blood on my hands. I've told them and begged. And thank God many of them have gotten saved. But many of them haven't. And you know, when Methuselah died, it was, God said, my long suffering's over. Now, one day, it's going to be over. One day, God's going to say, that's it. I've warned them and I've told them. I say to you tonight, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. You ought to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do, you won't fear waking up in September every morning. You say, Lord, could this be the day? It's all right with me. That's the difference in being saved or being lost. Amen. I challenge you as God's people, if you've been putting off doing something for God, you ought to get busy about it. You're running out of time. I don't know if it's this year, I don't know if it's this September, but I know a lot of folks are talking some really wild stuff. But you and I don't have to fear the Lord. Jesus already took his judgment that belonged to me on him and died in my place. And in him, I have the victory and I have the peace that comes from it. I didn't see all of it this week. And when Jimmy Carter was president, I preached a lot against his liberal politics. And I think he's off on his stand toward Israel and other stuff. But I did kind of admire him this week as he sat there in front of the reporters and told them he had the brain cancer, knowing basically, humanly speaking, he's terminal. But he sat there with that big smile on his face and says it's in the hands of God. I think he's born again. I think he's saved. I think he knows Jesus. And I appreciated the testimony that was a little bit shocking even, I think, to the reporters. There he just sat there like, okay, it's all right. Well, that's the difference when you're saved. Amen. When you know Jesus, amen? I hope you know him tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you that no matter what the world fears, we don't have to fear it. I thank you, Father, the victory that I have in the Lord Jesus. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's true with me, Father. I thank you for 80 years. I thank you for those years that I've been saved and serving you. And I wish I could have done a better job. And Lord, whatever time is left, I do want to do a better job. I pray you'll help me. But I pray for our church membership, for our people. Lord, we don't have to have a spirit of fear. We know the Savior. We know the one that gives us peace and victory. And what the world calls the worst could be the best for us. Bless the invitation, I pray. If there's one here unsaved, I pray they'd come and receive Christ tonight. I pray if there's a Christian following you far off and making all kind of excuses, offended about this, that, or the other, backslidden for one reason or another, I pray you'd speak to their heart and help them to see that penny-ante stuff. They need to get over and get right with you. Bless the invitation, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing whatever God's asked you to.